everyone, and welcome to October's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And you join us pre-recorded online this week due to a calendar malfunction on the host's behalf. We're unable to meet in person because I forgot what week it was. But we're back, and joining me here for October's edition of the Pitching In NPL show, pre-recorded on Wednesday this week. Simo's with us. Hello, Simo. How are you?
I'm all right. Is that how high up your priorities we are now? You're forgetting about us.
It's because there was a European match last week, and I've become like Brian Moore. You know, it's just one of the things. By the way, kids, if you don't know who Brian Moore is, ask your dads. And James Hayes is here, everyone. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. We are going to be joined by some special guests this week as well. We're hoping that Swampy will be joining us shortly. He's had a technical malfunction in Europe somewhere, which means he's unable to join us at the minute. But we're hoping we'll sort that out. We are going to be joined by the brand new permanent Morpeth Town manager, Craig Lynch, shortly. We're also going to be talking about step four. And, well, there's only one place we could start. And a bit of a disclaimer, it's all happening very, very fast, this, and I'm not Kay Burley, so I'm not necessarily able to keep up with events. We're hoping to get Steve Cunningham on the show this week because there's a big match this weekend for Buxton. We are going to start with Buxton. Simo?
Yes.
Your thoughts on the last 48 hours at Silverlands?
Well, it's all been very unexpected, hasn't it? And you're quite right that it's unfolded rapidly, still unfolding in some ways, because we are piecing together the different elements of this story. And it must be said that we don't have all the pieces. We have some people's version of events that have been involved in this and others not. Just to bring people up to date, then Buxton manager Gary Haywood even did an interview with his local newspaper this week talking about their FA Cup first round game against York City at the weekend. So he fully expected to be there. What has changed since is that Gary, along with his number two, Mark Ward, have since departed Silverlands, and they have been replaced by, very recently, former Curzon Ashton manager Steve Cunningham. Now, Buxton themselves haven't said very much at all about the reasons for the now former management team's departure. They've done a full announcement today that Steve Cunningham and his number two, Damien Crossley, will be taking charge at the weekend. Indeed, they took training on Tuesday night and kept it to a brief one-line sentence at the end of their official statement to say, "We thank Gary and Mark Ward for their contribution." Now, for those who don't know, Mark Ward has issued his own statement through social media, which does give one version of events. Because it's in the public domain, I don't think it's remiss of me to say that basically what Mark Ward has said is that he's got a family holiday that he doesn't want to change, waited to inform the club that this was going to happen until after he'd taken the requisite COVID tests, told them at the weekend, and the club didn't like hearing the fact that a member of their management team was not going to be there at the weekend, and he claims that's the reason for his dismissal. And we haven't heard at all from Gary Haywood. So mad, really. You know, the broader context is Buxton had a brilliant start to the season, haven't they? I mean, they're still unbeaten in the Northern Premier League. They're title contenders. They've had the historic run in the FA Cup. So not your kind of normal circumstances for Steve Cunningham to get a job, or indeed for a club to change its manager.
And we had a plan. We did have a plan. We had a tweet in James last week saying, three games in hand, not much said about the Bucks. That'll do us fine. The Bucks go marching on. But we weren't ignoring Buxton last week. I had a plan. The plan was, a couple of weeks ago, we had Buxton on ahead of the FA Cup for qualifying round. Then we had South Shields manager on. Last week, we had Paul Phillips on. And then we were going to come back to Buxton this week. So that was the plan. We've got a lot of clubs to cover. How many, James? How many clubs do we cover on the NPL show?
We did about 15 last week, didn't we? In the whole scheme of things, it's been a weird week for managers in general. So this afternoon as well, Gary Stopper resigning from Clitheroe. The last 7 days, not just in the Northern Premier League, but across the board, there's been a lot of manager changes or stepping down. So it seems to be a very, very weird moment of time. And just so happens with Buxton, it couldn't happen at a much worse opportunity.
And I mean, paddy for the thoughts of those at Matlock and South Shields. I know we're going to talk about the title race shortly, but does this change our expectation of where the title might go this season. Bearing in mind, of course, that Buxton beat South Shields very recently.
Well, let's hear from Steve Cunningham now, just to hear how he's settling in and everything else that's going on at the moment at Sutherland's, heading into this big game this weekend in the FA Cup. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us, and what a whirlwind week for yourself. How are you settling in at Buxton?
Well, it's great to speak to you again, mate. It's been a long time, but yeah, we've settled in really well, considering we've only had two training sessions after we met them for the very first time this Tuesday. Actually, after agreeing to take the job, really. So to go straight into it, which is what I like to do, the players took to us straight away. They understood what we want to do, but we also appreciate that we're not going to go in there and try and change everything, bringing in players galore, changing the style, because we're very fortunate the position that we just walked into. We're just going to be there to sort of encourage and support and watch from the sides at the moment.
I mean, it is very, very unusual circumstances in the fact that the departing management staff have done such a cracking job. I mean, it's very unusual. I mean, how do you go about it? Is it just softly?
I suppose, if you look at it, it's a very strange situation, because I've actually just left something very similar. You know, we left a very talented squad sitting third in the league, albeit that we just got knocked out at the fourth round qualifying, and just won manager of the month for August, September. So we left a very good squad there as well, and it doesn't normally happen, so it seems a bit of a strange scenario that I've then walked into another situation that I've just walked from. So yeah, it's great. We're very respectful to the previous management team and the players that are already there. They've worked hard to get themselves in that position, and like I said, we're not going to go in and start dictating straight away. We're just going to go in and understand what the group is, the characters, the performances speak for themselves. We'll just go in and add our little slant on things in terms of organisation, a little bit of style of play that we want to do going forward. We've been playing an attractive style of football that we play anyway, so it's not going to be a major transition, but we're very looking forward to the challenge.
And with regards to just how much of a whirlwind this has been, I mean, like you say, you're at Curzon Ashton doing a cracking job. That came to an end. Then this, I'm assuming, looking in from afar, it's been pretty quick, all this, I'm assuming.
It is. I mean, me and Damien had been speaking. Obviously, we were disappointed to leave Curzon. We didn't want to leave. It was taken out of our hands. Now, on that, we weren't really looking at any other specific jobs. We were enjoying a little bit of a time to just look at what's worked and what hasn't while we've been there. Ideally, we wanted to stay in that division because it's a very good division. It's tough to get into it. And I felt like, obviously, as you know, with my time with Colne, the time I'd spent with Curzon, I felt like I was, you know, showing my capabilities at that level. Certainly not done anything at that level to warrant being named as one of the better managers, but results were coming, picking up awards, and I really got a taste for it, and I wanted to stay there. But there were no jobs available. And how long did you stay out of football? Didn't we really want to drop so soon? Not really. But then when this opportunity out of the blue, you don't turn it down. You can't. When a chairman rings you and a board say they want you, and the project is Buxton FC, it doesn't matter what league they're in, because obviously they're very ambitious. Everything's been done professionally off the pitch. They're supported by a fantastic board. They've got a good support base, and the dressing room that we're walking into is probably one of the best in around those steps, and maybe the step above.
Your expectations and the chairman's expectations, like you say, made no bones about it. Promotion's the target. Are you up for that challenge?
Oh, 100%. I'm an ambitious guy. That's why when I took Colne, I always said we'd go and win the leagues. And, you know, even the playoff promotions we did in the league that had your Scarborough and South Shields and Farsley. So we were competing. I wanted to be better than them because I obviously wanted to manage higher as well. With Buxton, I'm coming into a group that are really ambitious. You've got some talented lads who've been there and done it. The board of directors are very hungry to get this club going, and certainly in the league above. But they also know that they're going to be very respectful to the competition that they're in. It's not an easy league to get out of. There's some very, very good teams. So even though that the promotion is the target, and I know that that is the job at hand, there's no point from the chairman saying you have to get promoted. They also understand that the league is very tough. There's a lot of competition, some fantastic teams, players, managers, some well-supported teams. But obviously we respect the competition because there's obviously some very good teams, players, supported teams. But over the season, we want to be the best one after 42 league games.
That's the league, though. Your immediate concern is the first round of the FA Cup. Buxton haven't been in this round of the competition for a very, very long time. And it's a team you know very well, York City. I mean, is that an advantage, the fact that you're more than aware of the competition this weekend?
It is and it's not, because obviously we didn't play York this season and all last season with the COVID season. We'd seen them, I'd done my due diligence on them, and I know quite a lot of the team. But walking into a game like this, I've always said the FA Cup early doors isn't really about it, because you work hard to get 3 points, you know, on a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and it's relentless. A league campaign's relentless. When you start winning games in the FA Cup, the closer you get to the first round opportunity, you then become a little bit addicted to it and you want it more. I've reached the fourth qualifying round twice now and got beat both games by Gateshead and Chesterfield, one with Colne and one with Curzon most recently. So then to walk into that and then realise my first fixture is a record sort of game for the club in the first round, probably FA Cup. I still think it gets any better than that. But like me and Damien have said to the board, we're really respectful that we're just there to support them tomorrow. Those boys, previous management team, have done ever so well to get there. And we'll just do our bit to try and help them get through to that next round. But we're certainly not going to take any plaudits for tomorrow. The lads deserve that, and the management team previously.
Well, Stephen Cunningham, a big, big thank you for taking the time out your busy day to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And just a final question. How much are you personally looking forward to Saturday's match up at York?
Oh, I can't wait. Kid in a sweet shop, Christmas morning, all the usual sayings. You know, it's a fantastic occasion, especially when I've just been told that the expected crowd could be around the sort of 4,000 mark. And Buxton themselves are taking 1,000 plus. And I just think that's a fantastic occasion for the players to embrace, and I'll be a proud manager on the day to lead that team out.
Steve Cunningham there, the brand new manager at Buxton, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show for the month of October. Well, interesting times ahead at Buxton, but we should say, just before we move on, a big thank you to Gary for always coming on the show, and a big good luck to both Gary and Mark, but given the job they've done at Buxton, since joining the club, I'm pretty sure they'll be at another club very, very soon. But all the best to Gary and Mark. Well, that's Buxton. I'm going to come back to the league in a second, but let's segue from Buxton and talk about the FA Trophy. And sorry, Buxton fans, look away now, because we have to talk about some of the big results from last week in the FA Trophy. And a sensational result by Colne and Nathan Rooney's side. I mean, James, that's sensational what's happened there last week in the third qualifying round for Colne.
Yeah, great result, but we do see these sort of things happen sometimes. I think it happened with Marine last year in the FA Cup, and we've seen that what happened in the past with clubs like Nantwich, who have gone on two cup, both runs in the season. I remember about 5-6 years ago when they made the semi-final of the FA Trophy, they had a cup run to the fourth qualifying round and they were playing catch-up with the fixtures. So sometimes clubs have got to take that situation. That's something that Buxton would have decided in advance. Can they afford to have two runs, especially with how many games have been played in the league so far this season? But all credit to Colne, because again, they've not had the best of starts in the West Division this year. So for them to come out and get a result like that, the first defeat of the season against the Buxton, it might be worth just mentioning that as well, really.
And Colne doing it with 10 men as well for all of the second half. So a brilliant performance there from Colne against Buxton.
Former Buxton player scored the winner as well, Tom Dean.
Exactly.
So just to say, next week we will be hearing from a plethora of Step 4 clubs on the NPL show. We're gonna go to town on it and talk about the teams who are looking to get to the second round of the FA Trophy. Some big games in the first round. We should say congratulations to Carlton Town, to Chase Town as well. Chase Town's result against Alverchurch was tremendous. Dunstan's win, Simo, over Bamber Bridge. Firstly, to hold on at the end to penalties and then to win on penalties. That's sensational, isn't it, from Dunstan?
Yeah, brilliant result for them. Jamie Milligan and Bamber Bridge will be gutted. They kind of climbed the mountain to get back from 2-0 down and then fell off the cliff by losing the penalty shootout. Well, don't take anything away from Dunstan. Great win for them.
We should also congratulate Yaxley. Yaxley with a 3-2 win at Lowestoft. Brilliant stuff. And James, you mentioned Marin. We talked about it. A horrible tie for South Shields, really. 0-0 at the end. And Marin winning 5-3 on penalties. Not bad at all.
Marin don't have the FA Cup to distract them this year. Now, obviously, with last week, the defeat to Wrexham. So they've got the luxury a little bit now, and in fact, because there's no replays in the FA Trophy this year, to potentially go and have a run in that competition instead. I'm not seeing that as a bigger surprise as people think. Yeah, obviously, a lot of people just expected South Shields to have won that game. But we know what Marine are like. They've kept the core of the team from last year. They're doing well in the West Division themselves. It's not as big a result as people think, especially with how South Shields were out the FA Cup as well to Mars. I think mostly beating High is one of the big ones as well to talk about there. From the last couple of weeks too. The biggest one we've not spoke about yet. Liversedge, top of the East Division, yeah. Scarborough 4-0.
I was saying, so, hey, James, I've done this in a particular order. I'm about to tee up an interview. How long have we been doing this show for now? Blow me neck. Anyway, okay, the magic's been ruined, but let's go into some of these interviews now, because going back to my point earlier that we're, you know, correspondents, we've got a lot of clubs to cover. So I'm going to be covering off some clubs this week about the FA Trophy and then more clubs next week. We've just got too many clubs to fit in. So firstly, let's talk to Mosley. Mosley with a brilliant 2-1 win over near neighbours Hyde United on Saturday. Mosley flying high as well at the top of the West Division. And on Thursday, I caught up with their manager. So welcome back to the show, to Dave Fish. Well, David, a big thank you for joining us. And first is first, big congratulations for that fantastic victory over Hyde last weekend. How was it?
It was very good. The atmosphere was brilliant. The Hyde fans and our fans made it into a real local derby. And I thought on the balance of play, we deserved the win. Thought we were very good against a decent Hyde side.
And going into that game, obviously it was on the back of a fantastic victory over Runcorn Linnets. The run of form that Mosley are on at the moment, you are top of the table. I mean, what's the mood at the club like at the moment after Saturday and everything that's gone on before as well?
It's superb. The dressing room is as good as any I think I've ever been in. The morale's really high. Lads are enjoying it. And that's shown. We've had approaches for players, which you would expect when you're doing well. And haven't lost anybody. You know, lads are really buying into what we're trying to do. And that filters, it's symbiotic. We're doing well. The fans are enjoying that. The fans enjoying that means they're in good voice. That spurs the players on to be better. So the whole feeling around the club and at the moment is hugely positive and long continue.
So top of the league as well. And I'm looking at the teams beneath you: Marin, Workington, Warrington Rylands, Leake Town. That's some statement that's being made there after 13 games, being top of that pile.
Yeah, it is. And the clubs you mentioned, they're all clubs I would expect to be up at the top of the league come the end of the season. They're all very good clubs, very good sides, with a real real pedigree of made statements. And I think we're there on merit. 13 games in, you can't be looking for that long. I think early doors, I perhaps wondered if we had win our luck a little bit and if we might get, kind of get found out maybe against some of the better sides. But I think we've held our own and against everybody, and with the run on game shown that we can, when things click, beat anybody on our day. So it's great. No, it's great to be there, and it's going to be tough to stay there. But I think we've put ourselves into a brilliant position a third of the way through the season.
No, absolutely, and you've rubbed shoulders with Hyde United now and beat them in the next round. You in the first round proper of the FA Trophy, you've got Whitby Town away. You're rubbing shoulders here against teams that you want to be playing week in, week out next season. I mean, what's your thoughts ahead of Whitby?
It'll be a tough game. It's they've started the season well, although recently the form's not been quite as good. We'll have them watched. We've got a little bit of intel on them. I think it will be a tight game. I think we've got a chance. I would give us a chance in any game. It's 11 blokes and 11 blokes, and when you're confident and working hard for each other, you've got a very good chance of winning any game of football. So I'm looking forward to it. We've got a support coach coming over, so we'll have a good following over there. And they're the games you want to be playing. You want to test yourselves against the sides in the division higher. You want those days out when you've got a good following and there's a lot on it. I think it's the furthest we've got for the first 5 years of the club. So can't wait, but we've got a small matter of work just before that.
I mean, that was going to be my last question. Just the fact, you know, you played Hyde. We're talking about Whitby, but in the middle, you've got this seismic game against Workington. Yes. It is going to be at Seal Park, which is beneficial, to say the least. I mean, how much are you looking forward to this challenge tomorrow?
It's going to be brilliant. I genuinely don't think Workington would have been our league had we not had a couple of seasons curtailed. I think they were favourites last year for a reason, and although they've been changed in personnel and management team, they look still as good as ever. So it's going to be a really, really tough test. But they're the games that make it clear to you that you do belong there. And you say Seal Park, it gives us an advantage. It should, but actually we've been better away from home this season. So we need to fix that. We need to get better at home. We need to turn Seal Park into a bit of a fortress. So I'm hoping we can start that this Saturday in what should be a really good game. I suspect they'll bring a few fans. There'll be, a good atmosphere around the place. Two sides who want to play. All set up for an excellent game of football.
Well, David Fish, manager of Mosley, I can't wish you more luck than Workington, obviously, on the NPL show, or Whitby, for that matter. But enjoy the next couple of games or so. It's going to be epic, isn't it, for you?
It is, and it's why we're in football. You want to be here to play in games that matter, and you don't get too much bigger than the two we've got over the next fortnight.
Dave Fish there, manager of Mosley. Simo, Mosley are doing well, aren't they, in the West Division? But it's a very competitive division, isn't it, the West Division? You know, with Marine, Workington, Rylands, Leake Town, Trafford, Rubcon Linnets. It's very close, and it's 6 points separating the top seven with varying degrees of games played.
It's a brutal division, although you can make a case. We're going to talk about a couple of the others, how tight it is at the top in the Midlands, for example. Yeah, we're talking about the West. I mean, Mosley have done brilliant just to be top at the moment because of how fierce the competition is. Okay, the lead is 1 point, and Marine beat Trafford on Tuesday night, and to leave them 1 point behind with the game in hand, so they could move to the top, but that shouldn't detract away from what Mosley have achieved so far. I had a little look at who they've turned over. I mean, they have beat Runcorn Linnets, Leake Town, Trafford, so they are beating teams at the top as part of this run, and they are a little bit of a surprise package because, understandably, pre-season, we will have looked at the likes of certainly Marine and Workington, but underneath that kind of perennial challenges like Leake, Trafford, and then Runcorn Linnets have had a really good start to the season. They've been featured on the show a couple of times, and then Warrington Rylands were kind of the big spending new boys, and they've had a really solid start to the season as well. Now, because I keep one eye on 1874 North, which I've seen quite a lot of West Division football this season, and I wouldn't call it at this stage who I think is going to come out on top. People might say, can Mosley last the distance? That, the greater resources some of their rivals might be able to strengthen if they need to. But I've seen most of the top teams, and I couldn't tell you who's going to win it. It's going to be brilliant to follow that division in the next few months.
One of the big talking points about that division at the moment is the attendances. Now, obviously, a lot of it being localised teams, but we've seen 1,000 spectators in that division a regular occurrence at this moment in time too. Yeah. So
let's go from the West Division now to the East Division. James mentioned it before, but Liversidge beating Scarborough Athletic by 4-0. I think I'm safe in saying that's result of the round.
I'd go with that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with Scarborough having their problems this season, and have been very inconsistent, but to see them get turned over 4-0 by a team that is flying was still unexpected.
Well, Liversidge in the next round will take on Basford United. They're flying high in the East at the moment, 9 points clear up at the top of the East Division. And for more now on Liversidge, on Thursday, I caught up with their manager. So welcome back to the show, to Jonathan Rimmington. First is first, big congratulations. Result of the round, I'm going to suggest. What performance against Scarborough? How was it?
I knew they'd try and pass and pass and pass and pass, and we knew what they were going to play, and we were a bit stronger than them and a little bit more physical. And we do create a lot of chances, really. So it was brilliant, really. The lads did fantastic, really, all over the pitch, everybody won. I've been rotating quite a lot, been changing team, and the lads don't like it, but it keeps everybody fresh.
And you need that freshness, don't you? Because then you follow that up on Tuesday night. Because I think when we spoke a while ago, we were speaking about you might be up at the top of the East Division, but it's very, very competitive. You know, you've got Cleethorpes on Tuesday, and you put four past them as well. So, I mean, that rotation side of things is working very well for you.
Yeah, they're a good team, them. They're the best team we've played them this season. I feel. I think Runcorn are decent, but Cleethorpe's movement, everyone's comfortable on ball. It causes us a lot of problems. Luckily, we got off to a whirlwind start with 3 goals in 10 minutes. It dampened them a little bit till half time, but they came out again, start second half, got an early goal, and yeah, caused us a lot of problems, Cleethorpe, but we're resilient as well. So
just to talk about the FA Trophy as well, because you know, I've seen the highlights back from the Scarborough match. You know, there's a great crowd there, a good atmosphere. Watching some, especially the last goal. That's a cracking finish, wasn't it? You've got Basford next Saturday in the FA Trophy. You know, if you carry on that good run of form that you've got at the moment, you know, games like Scarborough, games like Basford, they're going to be week in, week out next season. I mean, how much are you enjoying locking horns with these teams at Step Free?
Not really. I want to just concentrate on the league.
Oh, I teed that question up so well. Oh, Jonathan.
No. Listen, a few of our lads know a few of their players, so it'll be tough again next week. You know, it seems like every week we're now talking about a massive game, and Mask went through it about 3 weeks ago, didn't they? Every week they were talking, you know, they were Chester and Gateshead and I think they played South Shields, and every game's a massive game, and it takes a lot out of your players, you know. That's why, really, you've got to keep freshening it up and changing, and I may leave a couple out of the squad on Saturday, you know. So, but we'll try and get some information about them. But yeah, we're looking forward to another good crowd, and hopefully we can turn them over. But you know, it's going to be tough because we know they've got some good players, and again, they've been at. I always look at teams that are quite well structured and they've been at a level for a long time, and they probably will realise what we're all about now. But you know, it's stopping us as well. So we've just got to keep us, you know, feet on ground and just do the basic things that we want to do right. And hopefully we can get a result and hopefully progress.
And final question, Jonathan. It's going to be another good occasion for the club. Looking forward to a decent crowd there next Saturday as well, because they're going to be important, aren't they, against Basford?
Yeah, listen, the crowds have been amazing, really. It's been, you know, and I think Scarborough brought about 150 fans, which is amazing. Stockton bring about 100. You know, when they come, it's when you get that mingling with different clubs and they bring a few fans, it's something that we really don't get in counties. You might get 30, 40 people coming from, I don't know, Knaresborough or different clubs, but when you get like a proper following of fans, it like makes it quite tasty. There's a bit of noise about, and you know, when somebody scores, it means something, you know. And yeah, so it's brilliant. Honestly, it's just different gravy at minute, really.
Well, Jonathan, a big thank you for joining us. Best of luck. I can't wish you more luck than Basford, because this is the MPL show. But have a good weekend in the first round next week. Jonathan Rimmington there, manager of Liversidge, speaking to me on Thursday. Let's go to the Midlands division now. Later, we're going to be talking about the very, very competitive top of the Midlands division. Halesowe Town, Carlton Town, Chase Town, Ilkeston, Coleshill, Belper Town. Not much separating the top six. 5 points, incidentally. And next week's show, we're going to be talking about the FA Trophy with the managers at Carlton Town and Chase Town. But there's another team who've also done well in the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy last weekend. That's Sutton Coldfield Town. A 0-0 draw with Newcastle Town in the third qualifying round, winning on penalties, though. Sutton Coldfield go through to the first round, where they'll be travelling to Ashton United next weekend. And to judge the mood now in the camp at Sutton Coldfield on Friday afternoon, I caught up with their manager. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Tooth. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the show. First is first, big congratulations for making it through to the first round of the FA Trophy. How's the run been thus far?
Yeah, it's been a welcome break. I think the last time I spoke to you was a few years ago when we had a similar run, when we got through. So yeah, it was a tough game against Newcastle on Saturday. They're a really good side, but pleasing to get through to the first round, and a very tough draw away at Ashton, but one we're looking forward to getting our teeth stuck into.
Now, we'll get to the Ashton United match in a second, Neil, but just a thought for the league form more generally. I mean, you've got essentially it would have been a point there against Newcastle. You'd already beat Lincoln in the previous round, which is a very, very good result. I mean, you're not a million miles off, are you? Because there was that defeat to Ilkeston where you weren't too far off. So what have you made of the season more generally for Sutton Coldfield?
Yeah, it's been different this year. We've been obviously having the 3G pitch possibly impacted us a lot more than other football clubs, because that's the football club's main source of revenue. So during COVID, and I know a lot of football clubs, you know, I'm not saying we're any worse off than any other clubs, but when all of your income streams are taken away, it had a massive effect on us. So this year we've had to adapt, like many clubs have, and we've gone down the route of young aspiring players this year with a little mix of some experienced lads thrown in there as well. And if I'm honest, it's taken us a little bit longer to get to grips with the league than what we would have liked. But we're not far away. We're in games. You know, we know what I think. Carlton are the only team that have beat us by a 2-goal margin. So we're always in games. I think the frustrating thing for me this season is when we've controlled games and we haven't managed to convert the draws into wins, and that's probably hurt us a little bit and given us the league position where we are. But we've only the teams that are down around us have had 9 and 10 defeats, and we've had 5. So it's the draws that have probably hurt us a little bit more. I think you'd rather lose a couple of those draws and win a couple of them rather than picking them up, because you'd have a few more points. But yeah, it's we're not where we want to be. We know we've got to do better in the league, because that's our bread and butter. The trophy runs fantastic, and it brings some much needed revenue into the football club. But yeah, league position is where we need to improve, and it's been disappointing to start the way we have. But I'm confident that we've got the squad to push us up.
And is that the target for you now? Because you're not too far away from Bedworth and Sporting Carlsen. You've had mixed results when you played there. You beat Sporting Carlsen, didn't you? But lost to Bedworth. So is that the next target there? Because once you get in touch with those two up the road, you're not too far off everything else then in the league, are you?
Yeah, I think the league itself is a bit of a weird. We've called it step 3.5 this year because the amount of big clubs that are in there that are going for it, but they all can't get promoted. And I think you're seeing that with a few of them now, that they're starting to tail off, and some other clubs will end up catching them up and players are becoming available. I mean, we've just signed Jamie Ashmore, who had left Hales in town. So we've signed a player from the team that were top of the league, and there's other players coming available. We've signed Ryan Nesbitt from Loughborough Dynamo. So there's players now that are becoming available that, where we wouldn't have been in the market for them at the beginning of the season, all of a sudden now, because they're getting reduced game times at their clubs, we can bring them into us. So yes, the target is to bring those clubs slightly above us back into contention. But we've got another massive game on Saturday against Daventry, who are just below us. So we've just got to I'll use a cliche. It's the old one game at a time scenario.
Yeah, because after that you've got Corby. You're also in mid table, aren't they? Same number of points as Sporting Carlsen and Bedworth. Just 5 points ahead. So last question, Neil. Obviously, Ashton United next week, one game at a time, and all that. But I've got loads of managers next week talking about the FA Trophy, so I'm going to have to cut corners with yourself and talk about Ashton United now, if that's okay.
That's fine, mate.
But big banana skin this one for Ashton United. How do you become that banana skin next week?
We've got to prepare, right? As we've got 2 games before that. So first things first is making sure that we get through injury free. We're doing our homework on Ashton as they will be doing on us. So we'll be at their game on Saturday. We'll be at their game against Radcliffe on Tuesday, and we'll prepare right. But we know we need a little bit of luck, as you always do with the underdog. But like us, they haven't had the best of starts in the league. So we're hoping that we can capitalise a little bit on that. And if we can go there and start well and get a lead and silence down the crowd a little bit, which is what you always want to try and do when you're away from home, and just take it from there. But we won't be, you know, I mean, it's a one-off game. And I think in years gone by, where you'd probably think to yourself, well, if we can get them a draw back to our place, that might be our better the best chance of us getting through. But that's all changed now, so we've got to go there and have a really good start and get amongst them, ruffle a few feathers, and if we can get in the lead and make them come at us a little bit and try and weather it that way. But it's something that we're going to be going and looking to get in the win as quickly as we can.
Neil Tooth there, manager of Sutton Coldfield Town, speaking to me on Friday. And as I said, later in the show, we'll be having a bit of a discussion about the Midlands Division more generally. But, lads, let's go back to the NPL Premier Division now and let's talk about the top of the table. I'm going to catch up with Mark Carruthers shortly to talk about South Shields and Morpeth. And speaking of Morpeth, we will be joined by Craig Lynch as well, new manager at Morpeth after being caretaker now for a number of weeks. But Simo Matlock, still top of the league by 3 points. What's your thoughts on how things are going at Causeway Lane?
You'd be really encouraged if you were Matlock supporter. I think you'd be really encouraged if you were Paul Phillips, because yes, they've now lost 4 games. But again, a theme we have touched on already, what Philo's team has been able to do each time is they've always responded with a victory in the next game. So since we last did a monthly show, they have lost a couple of games, including that Titanic tussle with South Shields at Causeway Lane. They did, you know, they lost narrowly 1-0, but they'd also got beat away at Abbott and Coles. But the games following them, they came back and got the 3 points. That's going to keep the pressure on the chasing pack, because one game is hardly a crisis, one game is hardly a blip, and it'll be quite demoralising for the others to think, oh, Matlock, have they stumbled it? And then they go and win again. So really encouraging and really impressed that they're able to kind of shake off setbacks. That might be what makes the difference, because at the top of the table, it's been a bit of a bitty month for everybody. They've all lost games, haven't they?
Well, let's talk a bit more now about the top of the NPL Premier Division. And joining us down the other end of the line, we should be joined by non-league reporter from the northeast of England. It's Mr. Northeast of England himself. It's Mark Carruthers, everyone. Hello, Mark. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We've just been talking about Matlock there. They've got a 3-point lead over South Shields. Obviously, there was a defeat for South Shields in the FA Trophy. It is a bit of a wobble, but we do have to remember the defeats they've had in recent weeks have been against good teams, and they did beat Matlock a couple of weeks ago.
It's been a very up and down period for South Shields, hasn't it? Because they've had a couple of really notable results, but also a couple of very disappointing ones. The one big plus, I guess, from their point of view is that they are still only 3 points behind Matlock, despite the fact they have had, you know, this kind of disjointed run of form. They are still in touch. It's not as if they've dropped out of the playoffs or anything. They are still in second place. Yes, we've got Buxton. They're just 4 points behind them with, I think I'm right in saying, 3 games in hand. So they are very much in the mix as well. Bamber Bridge having a great season. So I don't think it was ever a case that South Shields were going to really run away with it. I still think they'll come out on top at the end of the season. I still think they have the squad capable of doing that, and I think they'll improve it even further as the season goes on. But there is no doubt at the moment they need to get rid of this inconsistency that's really hampering them.
Well, because we're approaching that stage of the season now, dear listener, we can start asking this question, which we can go back 7 years to when it all first started and go, would you rather have the games in hand or the points on the board? And this, you know, Buxton being in the FA Cup this weekend, it means that basically Buxton have got 4 games in hand over South Shields. And that means this weekend, you know, this match for South Shields away at Atherton Coles, which is a horrible game as well, really on paper. At the same time, Matlock are hosting Whitby. So it's a big weekend for both Matlock and South Shields, because Buxton will have those games in hand after this weekend.
It is, and it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because sometimes you look at them and you think, great, we've got those 4 games in hand, as it'll be, as you say. But I also think the pressure on them in those 4 games will be monumental, particularly if South Shields and Matlock pick up wins this weekend. Looking at South Shields going to Atherton, it is a very, very tough game. There's absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. But I always feel as if these are the fixtures where South Shields thrive, you know, when they're away from home, when they go to places where they know it's going to be difficult, a little bit like when they went up Matlock a few weeks back. So I think, you know, you might see the best out of South Shields this weekend. I think Matlock will beat Whitby as well, so that really will put the pressure on Buxton.
Well, it's going to be a big weekend to come. We should say, just to cover off some of those fixtures, Bamber Bridge, travelling to Stafford Rangers. That's a big game for the playoff race. Warrington Town hosting Hyde United. Basford United travelling to in-form Ashton United. So in and around the playoffs, it's very, very exciting. And a lot of things can change in the coming weeks, that's for sure. Head over to the mpl.co.uk, incidentally, for all the fixtures for this weekend. Mark, just while I've got you as well, we've just been talking about the FA Trophy in the third qualifying round with Simo and James and a couple of victorious managers. While I've got you, let's talk about some of the clubs in your patch who had very good weekends. Firstly, Marsh United beating Bridlington Town by 7-0. Adam Boys there scoring 4 goals in that game. I mean, Marsh United there, I mean, that's a superb result. And they've got probably the tie they'd like, I think, a home tie against FC United.
Musk, for me, are one of the stories of the season in the Northern Premier League. You look at the run they went on the FA Cup, and when I say the push Gateshead all the way, they really did push them. You know, Gateshead looked battled and bruised throughout that tie and really had to be at their best to come through it. But you look at Musk's league form. I know Liversedge are doing so well in the league, and you know they've currently got, I think, a 12-point lead over Musk, who've got 3 games in hand. But I look at that Musk squad and I see a group of players that are organised, that are disciplined, that have a defined style of play. I look at people like Curtis Round, who I think could do a job higher. You know, you've got people, you mentioned that, Adam Boys, I think it's 27, 28 goals already this season, which is, quite frankly, just ridiculous, given that we're not even in December yet. We're barely in November, put it that way. That'll be a really tough tie for FC United. I mean, going to Musk is never easy. And given the form they're in, given the amount of goals that they've scored this season, I think it's a great draw. And as I say, I think Musk are one of the stories of the season for me.
Yeah, and as it's what we said with South Shields travelling to Marine, it's a horrible fixture, that one, for FC United. Very, very tricky. And we'll catch up with Carl Jarrett on next week's show, I think. Just to mention for Dunstan as well, because Dunstan, brilliant victory over Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge are in the playoffs. We have to remember that, in the division above. Doing really, really well. They just beat Whitby. So, you know, an excellent side. And for Dunstan to tie with them, firstly, and then to win on penalties is sensational stuff last weekend.
Well, Dunstan did their best to try to lose that game, didn't they? Because they were 2-0 up. And came back to 2-2, but it's been a good run for Dunstan so far. I mean, they went to Wigan in the last round. I was there for that game, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't the strongest Wigan side. They rested a few because of important games either side of it, but Dunstan still went there and did a job on them. And to beat Bamber Bridge, I'll be openly honest here, I thought Bamber would go there and beat them. But Dunstan have hit a real good vein of form at the moment. They had a difficult start of the season where things just weren't quite going their way. I always felt as if they were maybe missing something different at the top end of the pitch. They've brought in Sado Giallo, who has come in from the second division of the Northern League, so he's made a big step up, but he's made a difference, and he's given them a bit of a target man at the top end of the pitch to work off, and they just seem to be hitting some really good form. And yes, they had a poor result at I think it was Sheffield, wasn't it? They had a really bad result down there, but we spoke earlier about South Shields with the FA Trophy. I think Dunstan are using it to really boost their league season as well. So I think they're just outside the playoffs in the East Division. They've got players coming back from injury and suspension, and you know they'll want to kick on over the second half of the season.
Well, Marine taking on Dunstan in the first round of the FA Trophy next weekend. But congratulations to Dunstan there on that victory over Bamber Bridge. And finally, Matt, we've got Craig Lynch joining us in a second. More of a 4-2 victory over Pickering Town. Pickering Town did come back at them, didn't they, towards the end of that game. Craig Lynch getting the job. It was a no-brainer, really, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, I think it was a two defeats in 13 that made it, which is, you know, a great run of form. And the sad thing is, from a purely Morpeth point of view, when you look at the league table, it hasn't really done too much for them. They're still sat second from bottom because there's been so many clubs around them picking up results. But I look at Morpeth's run of fixtures coming up, and I think I'm right in saying, at least I hope I am, because I wrote this yesterday, 8 of the next 11 games in all competitions are at home, because obviously they had that start of the season where they weren't playing at home because there's a new pitch being laid. So I look at it and they've always been traditionally strong at home, and if they can continue the form that Craig's helped build up with big players coming back and the big players within their squad hitting form, I see no reason by the time Christmas comes around, Morpeth can't be away from that bottom half of the bottom third of the table, we'll say, and looking up towards mid-table.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This weekend, Morpeth, incidentally, hosting Grantham Town, which is a huge game currently down the bottom end of the table. Radcliffe taking on Micklethwaite as well. That's a pretty big game. So, like I said, we'll be here for Craig Lynch in a second. But, Mark, big thank you for joining us. But how can people keep abreast of all your work for this weekend and everything else going across North East non-league football?
Yeah, I've got obviously my Twitter account, Mark Carruthers _. I've also got a Facebook journalist page now. I was advised to start one of them, so I've got one of them as well. No idea how you find it, just search for me name, I guess. But yeah, so got plenty coming up over the next few weeks and plenty of games to get back to.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. And as promised, let's catch up now with the manager at Morpeth Town. I caught up with Craig Lynch on Wednesday. Well, Craig, a big thank you for joining us and big congratulations on now being officially confirmed as Morpeth Town manager. How's it been the past week or so?
Yeah, it was nice to eventually get appointed. I know we had to go through the procedure of letting applicants know, so it was nice to officially get out there. But for me, nothing's changed. We've had a couple of good results. Obviously, we had the Pickering game, which was a good result on Saturday to get through to the next round of the trophy. And we had a very good result the week before in Nantwich, so it's going good. And then again, we've got another big game on Saturday against Grantham.
I mean, we spoke a few weeks back, didn't we? And yeah. The phone's been good with you in charge. I suppose it was, you can't really say this, but from my point of view, it was a bit of a no-brainer, I'm going to suggest. I mean, what's been the reaction from the rest of the squad and the coaching staff and that kind of thing to your appointment now it's been officially confirmed?
Yeah, great. I mean, you know what it's like around football clubs. When it's good, it's very good. So it's been great. Just losing two games in the first 13. So the lads have been brilliant. I mean, I know when the last time I came to the show was just before the York game, and we were battling the first six or seven games of me in charge with 11, 12 fit players. And you can't ask any more of the lads. And then we went down to York and we gave a really good account of ourselves. And on the day, we were very lucky not to win. And then they've came back to our place on the Tuesday night and put on a good show and convincingly beat us. But the lads have been brilliant. As you know, you're only good as your players, and they've been fantastic for us.
And it was all about bouncing back, wasn't it? And, you know, after the York match, you go into the Nantwich game, and that's an incredible comeback in the second half and a great performance from Liam Noble. I think you're a bit annoyed at the first half performance, but certainly the second half, that's what it was all about, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. I knew at half-time, it was one of them where we had to turn the screw a little bit. Just said to the lads, look, do your jobs and we'll be all right. And it was a very unique hat-trick, two corners, straight from the corner and a great free kick. But we had two cleared off the line. We had numerous chances. Second half, they didn't really trouble us until the last kick of the game when we've cleared one off the line. But it was fantastic. I mean, that's what it's about. When you're down the foot of a table, sometimes 2-0 down, we're thinking it could be 3-4-5. But testament to the lads who are unbelievable second half and just keeps that momentum going.
And that momentum, like you say, it carried into the FA Trophy last weekend. Good win against Pickering. They did come back at you, didn't they, as well?
Go on. Yeah. I mean, I always say where if you come watch us, you get your money's worth. But it's no good sometimes when your manager... Pickering, fair play to them. First half, I was very comfortable. I enjoyed watching us. I rested five or six who needed, who had knocks, who had played 12 games in a row, and we had five or six lads come back from injury. So it was an ideal time to play. No disrespect to Pickering, but we're bottom of the league below. So it was a good time to play with them, get lads minutes, freshen the legs of the lads that have played. And we were brilliant 3-0 up, and I started changing the team, and fair play to Pickering. They came at us second half and made it a very nervy last 5 minutes.
And obviously, this weekend, it's league matters. Grantham Town visiting yourselves. Then you've got the FA Trophy next weekend. I'm going to be interviewing loads of managers next week. So I know you take each game as it comes and all that, but just a mention for that game against Bromsgrove Sporting in the first round proper. Tough game, that one, isn't it? Because Bromsgrove have been pretty good in the FA Cup. So what are you expecting?
Yeah, I mean, the first hurdle's the travel. It's going to be a canny travel down to Bromsgrove. But again, as you said, we've done well in the cup competitions. We just below mid-table in the league. We were a league below us. So, again, it's not a bad draw on paper, but we know it's going to be a very tough test. I don't think there's many, especially when you go away from home, you wouldn't say, oh, it's an easy game, because I don't think any game in the non-league circuit's an easy game away from home. So it's going to be another tough game. And, again, we we'll probably use a full squad that game. So it's another good chance, another good game there to see where we're at.
So that's the FA Trophy. Let's talk about the league form and that kind of thing, because like we touched upon here, the form's been good. But the league position, it is a worry, isn't it? I'm imagining, but not totally cut adrift. And, you know, you're only 5 points away from FC United and Gainsborough Trinity. So, you know, not a million miles away from things. What's your aims and targets now over the coming months? Now you're permanent.
Well, for me, I think when we get to Whitby on the 1st of January, I think that's where we're really looking to see what our ambitions are for the season. We've got a lot of teams in the round us up till then, so the next six or seven games are massive for us. So really, I just want to see when we get to the first day of 2022, that's for when I can say, right, well, can we get in the top half, or can we be a mid-table team, or is it going to be a relegation battle? I think that's going to really tell the next 6 weeks. I think the next 6 weeks is massive, and I think every team will probably think that, because there's no easy game in our league. Grantham have won. That'd be two good teams away from home this season. So although they're bottom, I know we're only second up bottom, it's not going to be an easy game for us. And if we get a run of results together, we could be 10th by the start of December, or we could be bottom. So it's a funny league. I mean, Lancaster's 7 points above us, and I think we've got two games in hand on them. So we've got to win them two games in hand. But it's very tight. It's a very tight league.
Like you touched upon, it's a huge game this weekend, isn't it? And for determining what happens in the coming weeks. But how much are you looking forward to this challenge now, Craig?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I took it. As I said to you a couple of weeks back now, that I'm not one to turn down a challenge. I've had many challenges so far already, and I'm only 29. But I wouldn't have took it if I didn't think we had the right tools to try and push the club forward. And although the league position is a bit of a worry at the minute, I think we've got enough quality and ambition within the club and the players to push on.
Craig Lynch there, new manager of Morpeth Town. It was a no-brainer, I'm going to suggest, Craig, taking that job after everything that's been going on over the last few weeks or so at Morpeth. They've been in great form. That brings me to you, James. We're recording the show on Wednesday. Is your club going to drop a bombshell before the show goes out and therefore make it obsolete?
I won't be surprised. Let's be honest. It'd be likely at the end of the day if anything happened like that. But it's been a good month for the club, really. I mean, players are settling in. Good couple of signings are coming in now and starting to control games. And that's where, like, when we were speaking last month, saying it's not been the best of entertainment football, and it's starting to play that countering tacky football, and it's working against sides. Going to Basford on last two Saturdays ago, it says a lot about Bobby Grant as always, interim manager. Yeah, he's top of the goal scorer.
Is he enjoying it, James? I've heard some post-match interviews. He seems to be enjoying it and the role he's got.
He is indeed, but again, what he's going to have to decide soon is what he wants to do going forward, because obviously you can't be club's top goal scorer and the manager. It's going to come to a point where he's got to make that decision.
Well, dear listener, we've had that chat basically because we're recording the show on Wednesday. We've been doing the show a long time now. I know full well Radcliffe will make an announcement on Friday night just as a click upload. It's just going to happen. So there, we've covered it all off. We'll come to the playoff race and the promotion push in a second. I think we should finish with that. But the bottom end of the table, it's horrible. And, you know, Morpeth can quite easily go on a run now. Ashton United, it looks like they've already started their run. We all know about Mickleover. We all know about Hyde. We've spoke about Radcliffe's form. Nantwich are only 3 points above the drop zone at the moment, which is remarkable. It's going to be a tough one to call, isn't it?
And kind of, you're not quite sure which direction to look in. And I can, you know, give a tiny bit of insight in that. Obviously, you know, we featured Witten's climb up the table in previous weeks. I'm not going to repeat that, but when I interviewed Carl after the game on Saturday, we were talking about kind of where they go next in the league. I said, well, you've manoeuvred up to 12th there. Are you kind of looking to sneak inside that top 10? And I was quite surprised when he said, I can't afford to do that. I've got to look over my shoulder because it's so tight underneath us that any of those clubs could put a run together like Witten have done. And it just drags everybody back into that situation. I mean, no one's adrift. It's quite unusual, isn't it? We've normally got all that cliches we have, all after 10 games, we kind of know where everyone is. We haven't got a clue after 15 games where everyone is, still really in that bottom half of the table. And I would go as far as to say anybody, actually the entire bottom half needs to just be a little wary at the moment. It's so fluid. You're rewarded kind of in an exaggerated way for winning two or three at the moment, where in the past you would maybe need to win five or six to really steam up the table. It's so tight. I suppose that would give everybody a bit of hope that no one's adrift. Everyone's kind of taking points off each other, so it keeps it all nice and compact. Your worst nightmare is to be playing catch-up and you're being adrift, and nobody, even Grantham, who are bottom at the moment, have been picking up a win here and there, so they're not out of touch with everybody else. I thought you make a good point about Ashton. Is this their third? You know, they've been very patient with Cleggy, but they've now got those back-to-back wins on the board. It'd be quite interesting if they can build on that. Whereas there's a couple of other teams, Radcliffe, so we were touched on, have done the same. A couple of others are coming in the wrong direction. You know, Hyde is struggling to pick up points at the moment. Nickel over on a really poor run, have only won one of the past 11, so you'd be a little bit concerned about them. But we know the class that they've got, so that they could click back into gear again. So, yeah, again, you'd be mad to pick anybody at the moment who's going to end up in those bottom two or three places. It's great for us following it because it's genuinely exciting and unpredictable. Managers might not agree with that. They might say it's quite stressful and they are genuinely looking over the shoulders, but it's really not settled in perhaps the way we thought it might have done.
Just before we move up to the top half of the table, just a congratulations to Dave Cook as well. He's reached 300 games in charge and there was a nice presentation for him. And I should say, Sean Cook as well has reached 300 games. So well done to the pair of them. Good lads. Right, let's go up to the top end of the table to finish things off with. And Bamber Bridge have got themselves into a very strong position. 6 points inside the playoffs now. A brilliant result from them against Whitby on Tuesday. I mean, this is sensational stuff, James, isn't it, really?
It is indeed, and some of the transfers they've made recently have made use of that. So, again, we've all had such on the fact. Banj, I know he's not played the last couple of games. I think he's injured at this moment. But Apter in the midfield, Nathan Pond from Fleetwood in the last couple of games, and they've just brought another lad in from Preston. They've got the capability to do it, and it's just how long they can get the most out of the youth loans and the short-term loans they've got this moment in time. They're playing a good... They're doing well in the market in that regard. It's just, can they keep it going is the big question.
Simo, I mean, we're not halfway yet into the season. I think it's 42 games, isn't it? And, you know, they played 17. But it is a strong position that they find themselves in.
Only 8 more points to stay up?
yes.
I'm only kidding, Jamie. I'm only kidding.
That's a Joe McGrath, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Project 40, yeah. Or is it 42? Can't remember. We updated it last year, didn't we? It's 42. Listen, only the top two, Matlock and South Shields, have won more games than Bamber Bridge. I mean, that it's just a brilliant, brilliant start to the season. I would say that was a much needed win against Whitby, but it was an emphatic win against Whitby. Gets them back on track. And they've manoeuvred themselves into a great position. I suppose the challenge for them is, can they stay there? Yeah, I think they probably can. Do their objectives change with pressure, with expectation? Because, you know, let's have it right, none of us who contribute regularly to the show add them down as being in the playoffs this season. So it's important to remember that. And it's kind of as that kind of milestone comes closer from off the horizon, how do they feel about that? I don't think that pressure's there for them at the moment. They can carry on doing what they're doing, and it's for others who are trying to chase them to be concerned about that at the moment. But only good things, only positive things, and Jamie Milligan's thoroughly earned the contract extension that he got the other week.
Now, we're approaching, we're into November now. So, you know, we played a lot of games for this stage of the season. We're ahead of where we normally are. But this playoff race here, 2 points separating Warrington Town and Whitby. You know, Basford aren't too far away. Then you've got the surprise packages of Stafford Rangers and Stalybridge, Lancaster City. We mentioned Scarborough. Can they get their act together and get a run of form going? FC United, the last time they beat Runcorn Linnets in the FA Trophy, they then went 17 games unbeaten. So who knows? Who does know? James, do you know what we're looking at here for the playoffs?
It's similar to the relegation fight. You know, I see you've got a good handful of teams that are one or two, 3 games away. Similar to the first division, really. All it's going to take is 2 wins and you're straight into the fight. Or it's a case of like Warrington, Bamber, Whitby, Basford, 2 defeats and you're right back on the back. But we'd normally talk about this sort of situation in April or May, because last couple of seasons we've always had and 4 or 5 clubs dueling it out. As we could, obviously, the fact we're not playing the League Cups helping the fact we're almost at halfway through the season. So all it's going to take is one side get 3 or 4 wins on the go and they're up to sixth place. It could be literally anyone down. I didn't even go down if I was Grant from it at this moment in time, realistically, to say that.
Well, I was going to say, Simo, are Warrington safe?
No, they're not. I wouldn't...
No, I mean, from relegation.
Oh, you, God, you'll be off Paul Carden's Christmas card list rapidly.
It was a joke, just to follow on from what James was saying.
I thought, are they safe in fifth? I was like, well, no. But, I mean, I think Warrington's, they're kind of, like, chugging along quite nicely. You know, Cards has been on the show and it's been a little bit frustrated. They've not, in his opinion, kind of found top gear yet. Well, they're still fifth without finding top gear. They're unbeaten in the past five. So kind of quietly going about their business. They've started to be much harder to beat again, much harder to score against. And that's kind of the Warrington that we've come to recognise in the past few seasons. So they're sat very nicely, thank you very much, in order to try and get one of those four playoff places. I mean, you made a good point about Bamber Bridge opening that little bit of daylight. The others don't want to kind of fall too far behind, but it's been just such a struggle for consistency. I mean, Basford have done brilliant to recover from their slow start to the season, but, you know, they've lost a couple recently. You know, they had the great win at South Shields, but couldn't kind of build on that. They're still pretty nicely placed in seventh, but they don't want to, you know, they don't want to kind of get into a win-lose streak either, because they'll lose ground. Stafford, just nice and solid still, aren't they? They've only lost one of the past five. Really hard to beat, really hard to score against. The longer they stay in that kind of top eight, top ten, the more serious we're going to have to take their challenge. You would have said, the thing is, you would have said last week the top three are a lock. We don't know what's going to happen with Buxton now, do we?
I was about to say, it feels very reminiscent of CNN, the presidential election, where we start calling states. It's very reminiscent. And I was about to come to the pair of you, you know, you brave souls who've braved this October show. And I was going to say, is it too early to call it and say Matlock, South Shields and Buxton are in the playoffs? Simo, are we calling it? Matlock, South Shields, Buxton are in the playoffs now?
I think you can be fairly sure. I have got a question mark against Buxton now, because obviously we have to wait and see how things settle after a really kind of tumultuous week for them. There's a few unknowns there now. How will the team, which has very much been put together from Gary Haywood, who kind of dismantled what was there before, and this is very much his group, how will they respond? So, and then underneath that, we've seen Warrington and Basford kind of challenge for the title previously, so I wouldn't even rule either of them out for first just yet, but they're going to need to kind of put a little spurt together just to close that gap to the others. But with more than half the season to go, they can do that. So my answer is no. I think the top two, yes. I think you could probably say they're going to be in the playoffs, but underneath that, no certainties at all.
Okay. And we'll return to this next month, because I know, dear listener, you're dead eager to find out what we think. That'll be in April, no doubt. Right. Just before we leave the show, I did promise you a chat about the Midlands division, and the reason why I'm doing this is because, to say this, the Premier Division is close at times, it pales into insignificance versus what's going on in the Midlands Division. Hillsdale Town, 30 points. Calton Town, 30 points. Chasetown, 30 points. Ilkeston, 29. Coleshill Town, just 3 points off top spot, sitting in fifth. And then you've got Belper and Stamford there just lurking in the background, not too far from the player positions. Simo, just a quick thought on the Midlands division. You've had a little look at it.
Well, you're about to hear the voice of a man who's just probably looked at the table for the first time, maybe this season. However, my first impressions by doing that, I can still give you them. I mean, Hales are on the top by one goal. But also, look at the goal differences of the teams in the top five. They've been dishing out some punishment, haven't they, this season? But I think even looking at the games in hand, Belper, Stamford, you couldn't rule them out for a title push either. I mean, that is one hell of a bun fight, that. You would be insane to put money on anyone at the moment. And that's what we want. We want it to be wide open and unpredictable. And longer may it continue.
Absolutely. Just to say, we'll be joined by Tommy Brookbanks and Mark Swan. Tommy Brookbanks, manager of Calton Town. Mark Swan, manager at Chasetown, next week. Because in the FA Trophy, Calton Town will be hosting Stourbridge, our old friends. And Chasetown will be travelling to Warrington. So that's pretty good. So that'll be on next week's weekly show. But Simo and James, big thank you for joining us for this monthly look back. I think it's been a weirder version of the show, but I think it's been all right, because we've had managers on, we've had Matt Carruthers on. It's been all right. Who needs Birkin Swamper? Is my closing thoughts.
if you're a club that's not been featured, it's at Audible, Ben. On...
get in touch with the MPL show on Twitter. Leave my personal Twitter feed alone. That'd be great. But just to say, we're trying to cover everyone. We are here every week. And if stuff happens, like, you know, you get on a run of form and stuff, we'll get you on. But Simo, James, a big thank you for joining us this month. Look out for our weekly show next week, where we'll be looking ahead to the FA Trophy. But wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.